How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Saturday mornings with Jim Valley, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays with Andrew Zarian, and it is Monday here in the show. It is not only Monday, it is Cyber Monday. We'll talk about that later. But Monday means we got a lot to talk about, including Raw tonight. And tonight, it is the big celebration. The new year, or the new day, 10-year anniversary celebration. Anyone think that's going to go all right tonight? Well, we'll see. But we got a lineup for Raw, including 5 segments announced, coming off the Survivor Series on Saturday. I went to the Survivor Series. I was there live. So we'll talk about that show. All the matches. There was a title change, believe it or not, which I did not see coming. I have a prediction contest doing with this fella named Dalen, and now Gigi as well. And that's Garrett. I'm not doing well because I missed that one. It makes me very upset. Garrett is now winning because he actually predicted Nakamura. So anyway, we'll tell you about that show. Also got the updated lineup for Dynamite. We can talk a little bit about Collision this past weekend. SmackDown, if you would like to. Big E did a long interview about the history of the New Day and his future. Kenny Omega's future. He has been announced for one show so far. Apparently he's going to be easing his way back in. We got a Shota Umino update. Update on some injuries that took place at the War Games show. And plenty of other things as well. If you want, text us here today. This is the phone number, 425-780-7566. That's the text message line. Don't call it because nothing will happen. 425-780-7566. F4WOnline at gmail.com. F4WOnline Threads, Instagram, and Cameo. At Brian Alvarez on X and Blue Sky. Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Yes, Mike?
Why so serious?
Because I was like, where is this guy?
You were like, you
and I was I was about to text you, and all of a sudden your smiling face just boom!
I've been here the entire time. I saw you come back into the shot, you got up and left again, then came back. I've been here the entire time.
Well, where's your video been? I don't know if you're here unless I see the video.
I don't know. Ask Jared.
It's a big black screen.
Well, it's usually better than looking at my face anyway.
What are you talking about? I've never said that once. Never once have I said I'd rather see a blank screen than Mike's face.
Not on air.
I might have thought it, but I never said it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-mm-mm. Hey, you know what? I got to be honest. I don't get a chance because I got a lot of things going on. I don't get a chance to hear every single Brian and Vinny show, but I am happy I heard last night's show because I believe a new recurring character on Brian and Vinny can be
Invisible Rodney.
Rodney commenting from the corner. I think that it would be fantastic. I would enjoy at least one jump in from Rodney on every episode.
Rodney was very, very upset that I said I couldn't get him to do anything physical. On this show, by the way.
I know.
He took that very personally.
He took it out on me.
He took it out on you.
Yes. It's my stepbrother. You didn't know that?
But he took it out on you? What do you mean?
Because he took me to task for not defending him on this very show where you called him out as being weaker than either Vinny
Craig. I got this confirmed. He wasn't angry that I said that if there was an altercation, I would pick Vinny and Craig over him.
Yeah.
Turns out he wasn't upset about that. Because quite frankly, Vinny and Craig, on sheer size alone, are a human wall.
Well.
Rodney's not a human wall.
He is not, no.
I don't think he'd be upset about that.
Well.
I know that because we each weighed each other on the scale at the spaghetti factory. We should have done a before and after, but we didn't. But I did say I couldn't get him to do anything physical. And I will publicly apologize for that statement. Because I was reminded that we did, in fact, go to a trampoline park, and he actually paid and bounced on the trampolines. That happened. So I did get him to do something physical. I was recalling all the times I wanted him to come to jiu-jitsu class for some fun, and he always claimed he had a trick knee.
Well.
You better not deny that, because that happened multiple times.
If you didn't have a reputation for being Stu Hart in your own dojo when it came to, hey, why don't you roll
around
for
a little bit? That's not true, unless it's Rob.
And I got another thing. I cannot believe that you guys walked all the way around a big city and settled on, of all places to eat, the Spaghetti Factory. What,
well,
are you, like, 7 years old?
Listen, if you want to blame somebody, you can blame Vinny for that. Listen, we didn't have that much time. And we went into a big mall that had a food court, because it's like, well, eat quick. There's 25 options here. It's a food court. Turns out there were, like, dead bodies scattered around the mall, I'm pretty sure. So we got the hell out of there. And then we just hit the find food nearby. And I started rattling off places, and Vinny goes, Spaghetti Factory. So we went there. It was fine. It was fine.
Like, well, because there was no police presence
people
there.
People
like,
buried
the mall.
It, but it was all right.
Well, I mean, I just can't believe, like, you know, the Spaghetti Factory.
It
like,
was
I didn't
fine,
even
dude.
Know that was, like, a real thing. Like, I thought, like, Mom's Spaghetti from M&M in Detroit was the only, like, you know, stop by and get spaghetti place.
I didn't pay that much for it at all. Paid for a portion of Vinny and Rodney because they shortchanged me in cash, but that's another story entirely. Sure, they'll deny it, but I'm the one that paid the bill.
Did anybody give a tip?
I always tip.
What percentage?
But then we went to the actual show, and I mostly had a really good time. I will say there's way too much downtime. Way too much. I mean, the fans actually, they figured it out. Because you know how, like, in the old days, it'd be like they would sit through the show, and then there'd be, like, some Divas match or whatever, and everybody would go to the bathroom or whatever? Well, now, it's like, after every match, thousands and thousands of people leave. I'm not even kidding. It's like, after every single match, thousands of people got up and went and got food or merch or walked around or went to the bathroom. Because literally, they all have learned there will be 15 minutes between each match where nothing happens. And before the main event, there was 20 minutes. So the show went 3.5 hours, and there was 80, 90, 100, 100. There was 2 hours of wrestling in a 3.5 hour show. There was 1 hour and 30 minutes, 90 full minutes of nothing happening on this show. So that was my big complaint.
A lot of people don't like the term premium live event. Let me tell you what differentiates a premium live event from a pay-per-view. It's because you have that downtime and commercials playing, and everybody that has had to suffer through those sitting at home watching Peacock for any WWE show, yeah, you know it's time to get up and go do something else for at least 10 minutes.
I know that some of you here are young. Most of you, actually.
Me?
Not you, but listeners. But I'm going to tell you something as someone who's old who's been watching wrestling for a long time. I'm pretty sure it was WrestleMania 6 because I bought that show on pay-per-view. It might have been the first one I bought. But way back in the day, on pay-per-view, there was an intermission in the middle of the show.
Oh, yeah.
You would be watching on pay-per-view for like an hour, and then there would be like a 10-minute intermission, and then they would pick up again. It's bizarre, but that's what they did, because there was an intermission at the show. Now, if you know anything about...
That's because wrestling shows actually used to have intermissions.
I know, that's my point. Like, listen, let's think about this, okay? We have two extremes right now, okay?
Yep.
Because it's like people in wrestling can only do extremes, okay?
That's true.
In WWE... WWE is match 15 minutes. Match 15 minutes. Matt, am I like, I don't need that much. Like, I got my steps in. What are we doing here? But then there's AEW. And I actually prefer the way AEW does it, but there is an issue because I've been to the shows live. AEW is match, 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 match for 4.5 hours or whatever. And like, if you have to go to the bathroom, it's like, I don't even know when to go. I'm going to miss something. So, like, the reason that every play you've ever been to in your life, Broadway, all the way up to Danny Go, which I took my kids to about a month ago, it's a...
Broadway all the way up to the local theater.
All the way up
near
to
you.
Danny Go. It's you know, 3-hour play or whatever, but there's an intermission in the middle. So you don't miss anything. It's like, you gotta go to the bathroom, go during the intermission, and then the show starts and goes till the end. So, like, Everybody does that except wrestling. Wrestling will not have an intermission unless they're like an indie show or even a house show. It's each promotion has to do the extreme. Either 12 nonstop matches with nothing in between, so you have no time to leave if you have an emergency, or hey, let's do 15 minutes in between every single match.
GCW's got it right with the smoke break.
How about you do an AEW pay-per-view where, yeah, actually, intermission, New Japan used to have intermissions on their big shows. You'd be watching on New Japan World, you'd watch for 2 hours, and there'd be like a 20-minute intermission. And then they come back for the rest of the show. I never saw a single person in history complain about the intermission. None. Zero. And I would bet you that if AEW and WWE both blocked out 3.5 hours for their pay-per-views, and at the 2-hour mark, they did a 20-minute intermission, show some videos or whatever, but the rest of the time, it's like boom, 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 boom. No complaints. There would be zero. Zero complaints.
Guess what? All your complaints are going to fall on deaf ears anyway, because that ship has sailed when it comes to WWE. AEW absolutely could do something like that, but I think at this point with WWE, with what they are and the type of sponsors they're getting on board, they'd have to actually regress back and actually have that kind of time on their hands to want to do that.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the War Games show. Men's and women's War Games. 3 championship matches and what I found to be a shocking title change, although I guess it was expected by some people. I don't know why.
Yeah, really.
I'm back in a moment. Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to text us, what are your thoughts on the weekend? 425-780-7566. That is 425-780-7566. Show is free. Cyber Monday here, and we got a special Cyber Monday special that ends today. And so, this is it. WrestlingObserver.com or F4WOnline.com. The promo code, the secret promo code, is F4W50. That is F4W50.
For how old Brian Alvarez is.
No, that's not. It's 50% off.
Oh.
But that is the promo code. If you sign up today, you can get a half off at WrestlingObserver.com. Half off, F4W50 is a promo code. And because it is December 2nd, that means if you use that half off code today at WrestlingObserver.com, F4W50, you will get a month's worth of shows, newsletters, 84 shows, 4 newsletters, 15,000 archived radio shows, and I don't know how many archived observers. Almost every single observer since 1991 is available on the site for subscribers. And you'll also get the Christmas show.
Oh, no.
Yes, you will get the Christmas show as part of your subscription. So sign up or come back today at F4WOnline.com. Cyber Monday special, the code F4W50. Don't miss out on this one. Do not miss out on the Christmas show. I hate doing them, but I do them for you, the people. All right. So this show had the Women's War Games match with Rhea Ripley, Bianca, Naomi, Io, and Bayley beating Liv Morgan, Raquel, Nia, Tiffany, and Candice. No surrenders on this show. All pinfalls. Rhea pinned Liv. Obviously, setting up another championship match between the two. This match, I mean, Tom asked, and I was wrong. This match, 38 minutes, okay?
It felt like it, yeah.
Now, you know what that means? Nia was in first. She was in that cage for 38 minutes.
The Iron Nia.
I've said this 1,000 times. There is a very famous saying, hindsight is 20/20, okay? And in many cases, that is true. But who, without the benefit of hindsight, merely with foresight, who thought, I have a great idea. Let's put Nia in War Games for 38 minutes. lasting here on our chat. There is no way you watched this match. Stop. There is no way you watched this match if you're defending this. Nia was horrible in this match. Even her biggest fan, Filthy Tom, acknowledged this. Why are we pretending that what I saw with my own two eyes live and everyone else saw on television is not true? She was not good in this match. I am the first guy who has told you matches where she has been good. There was a match with Nia Jax and Naomi on SmackDown. It was a main event about 3 weeks ago. It was a genuine, really, really good... I didn't even go... It was a great match. Nia and Naomi. It's a great match on SmackDown in the main event. This match was not great. She started with Bayley. It's 5 minutes. Bayley's screaming spots at the top of her lungs. It sucked. Then we had the bad psychology of, hey, let's have the baby faces have the advantage, but we got to get heat. So, like, you know, in a fair fight, they're getting killed. And when they have the advantage, they're also getting killed. Nia threw the worst chair shots. Lance was laughing. These chair shots were so bad. I mean, it was just, it was bad. Now, once they all got in the cage, it did get better because the psychology was no longer messed up. It was a fair fight. And, you know, there were some cool spots. I didn't think the match was, like, terrible. But I did not even think it hit the level of being good. So that was the opener.
It was there, it existed, and it's not a referendum on Nia since she's returned, because after she was killing people in her first couple of appearances back, this is about the best she's ever been in her wrestling career. With that said, that was a long time to go in there, and as you mentioned, the psychology of having the babyface team with the advantage is absolutely incredibly stupid. We as wrestling fans accept the fact that the heel team is going to have that advantage. And if they do not have the advantage, what should happen is what used to happen, which was the heel team attacks somehow the person going in, so they lose the advantage. It's okay to do that. It's fine.
Then we had Shinsuke Nakamura and LA Knight. I have seen so many Shinsuke Nakamura championship feuds where I thought for sure he's got to be winning the title at some point. The most notable being that feud with AJ where they had, I swear to God, like five matches and he never beat AJ. Five. I thought there was no chance that he was beating LA Knight. But he did. He raked his eyes, reversed DDT on the metal, hit him with a knee to the back. Wasn't like a great match or anything. It was like a TV match. But Nakamura won, and the crowd gasped because nobody else thought he was winning either. And then he got a big babyface pop, and they cheered him for the rest of the segment.
I tell you what, for as much as I make fun of people gambling on professional wrestling, I would have done a lot better than some of my picks in college football on Saturday, because I thought Nakamura was winning that match, and I cannot believe that I seem to be in the minority on that. I could see you possibly missing the boat on that one, but I'm surprised that so many other people did, where it was that big gasp at the end of the match as Brian continues on fighting with the chat.
Never. I never fight with the chat. Braun Breaker, Sheamus, and Ludwig Kaiser had a three-way for the Intercontinental title. Excellent match. This match had the hottest near fall on the entire show when Sheamus avoided a spear. Braun bonked into a chair. Sheamus bro-kicked him. Everybody thought Sheamus was winning. And when Ludwig broke it up, they were furious. These fans are into the idea that that's the one title Sheamus has never won, is that Intercontinental title. I don't know if he ever will. I mean, you know, they did that whole angle with Chad Gable. He never ended up winning the title, even though it seemed like he was gonna. So we'll see. But it was an excellent match. Braun retained the title. I liked it.
So it's a lot of caps here in possibly.
It's stuck on caps lock.
I understand. Gotcha.
What'd you think of this match?
Wake up, awesome. Brother. Well, I know I was trying to insult you right there, but you just shook me off.
Exactly.
I'm
unflappable.
Braun Breaker was absolutely fantastic in this, Sheamus. I like this combination of these three guys together, and Braun Breaker winning. It'll be interesting to see now with Ludwig Kaiser. how everything is going to play itself together, because as we'll get to later on, there's at least one member of the Judgment Day that seems to have gotten into it with Gunther, so we'll see how that impacts Ludwig Kaiser as well.
And then we had Gunther and Damian Priest. The one thing about Gunther is this man can have an excellent World Heavyweight Championship match.
With a broom, he could.
But Damian Priest is also very good. But the point is, like, he never just has nothing matches. It always feels like a world title match. And this did. You know, Damian Priest, Gunther had no confidence. Then Damian Priest accidentally hurt himself. Gunther jumped on it. And, you know, they had a good match, good comeback by Damian. Fans were into this match. And then finally, Damian bumped outside. Gunther bumped into the ring. And Finn showed up, double foot stomp on Damian Priest. Gunther ends up actually attacking Finn Balor for interfering, because I think down the road he's going babyface. And then Gunther put the sleeper on Damian Priest and won to retain the title. Very, very good championship match.
It'd be interesting to see when they split Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser, if Gunther is the one who actually goes babyface in that exchange. You know, how they pull that off and what Ludwig Kaiser is going to be like after that, because he certainly seems like he could be somebody that's in the Intercontinental title picture for a long time.
And we had the men's War Games match. Roman Reigns, The Usos, Sammy and Punk against Solo, Jacob, Tama Tonga, and Tongaloa, and Bronson Reed. And the most important thing about this match is people did get hurt. They appear to be... Actually, I don't know about Bronson Reed. But Jimmy Uso broke a toe off a top rope splash. Jacob Fatu appeared to injure his knee when he botched a moonsault and immediately grabbed his knee and hamstring. But he was selling.
He is so good.
He's not hurt. He knew enough to act like he was hurt after
like
screwing up the spot.
Like banging his shin on the broadcast table. Remember when he did that? Had everybody wondering what was happening?
Tongaloa, I mean, he appeared to have completely destroyed his shoulder, but everyone's claiming he's fine. But like, I have two eyes. The guy's not fine. I don't know what the issue is. And Bronson Reed also came off the top. And I don't know. Listen, his ankle is hurt. But I think today is the day it's getting checked out. So maybe we'll know today or tomorrow, but not looking good for Bronson Reed. But, you know, they won a bunch of spots for video packages, and four people came off the top on this show.
Tell you what, I'll turn that negative into a positive, though, after the break. I'll figure out a way to do it when it comes to Bronson Reed.
Please, this poor guy's on one leg right now. Anyway, we'll talk about the match and more after the break. Observer Live.
You're clear.
So the match itself was like pretty great, because he did it right. Heels had the advantage. So it was like, there's nothing easier than a War Games when the heels have the advantage. But they always have to make it difficult. Once a year, the babyfaces have to get the advantage in War Games. And it handicapped the women's match. The women's match had problems, you know, on top of that. But, man, add in the babyfaces having the advantage, it's worse. This, because they had the basic psychology down right, had heat the entire time. Plus, he had all the biggest stars. And ends up with Solo, surrounded by all the babyfaces. They all hit their finishers on him, and they pin him. Which led to Dave arguing with me that people will still want to see Roman Reigns versus Solo Sikoa for the Ulafala. I don't know how.
Look, you're both right.
I couldn't possibly care less.
You know why.
No. Rock needs to walk in.
That's exactly why.
He needs to walk in, and he just says, dude, give me that Ulafala. You failed. I'm the new tribal chief. Do not waste the Ulafala match on Solo. No. He's been beaten a dozen times by Cody. He's been beaten by Roman. Like, come on.
The big match is
Rock and Roman for the Ulafala.
Yeah, but you need to have two matches for the Ulafala, okay?
No, you don't need two.
Yes, you do.
No, whenever you do two of anything, the second one is less over than the first.
Brian, look, when it comes to this storyline, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and it's going to move along, and they're going to have to do that so then they can have, after Roman defeats Solo, then we can have a long dramatic pause, and we can have the lightning come on the screen, and out will come The Rock, and all those people that were waiting there after the...
How does The Rock get the Eula fall if Roman beats Solo for it?
Because then he says, Roman, I'm The Rock. That's mine. I'm the people's champion. The Ali's gave me a belt.
Stop.
Give me the Eula Falla, and then you build towards the match for that.
No.
Yes, The Rock steals
it. Why would Roman give it to him?
The Rock steals it from him at some point.
He steals it? No.
Yes, you got to build this thing up somehow. Come on.
No.
You're telling me those two aren't going to have a match to decide who is, like, the Kagan of Khans?
Yeah, that's my point. So Roman needs to show up and take it from Solo. Just like, give me that.
Okay. Roman needs
the only other option.
Rock needs to show up and do that.
The only other option.
When does he do that,
Brian? The only other option is if you do Roman and Solo, which I don't care about at all.
I know.
But Rock can show up and screw Roman. Solo beats The Rock, and then Roman says, give me those beads now. Like, Roman needs to end up with the beads, and Roman...
The bottom line is, you just want The Rock to come back and get rid of Solo Sikoa. That's really what this is at the end of the day.
Well,
but people are going to like this storyline, and they're going to go along with it because they like what has come along with it so far. They've given everybody a lot of rope here. We're dealing with a lot of Solo. Whereas if this thing wasn't as hot, people would have already probably turned their backs a lot harder on Solo Sikoa, okay?
You've got Jacob Fatu. Was over way more as a threat than Solo is right now.
Yes,
they protected him significantly better. He never gets beaten. And, you know, you have Roman needs to go through. Well, I mean, first, here's the thing. This is going to last a while. Roman has to go through all of these Tongans. We have new Tongans on the way. We have, Tala Tonga.
Hikuleo. Yeah,
we've got
Zilla Fatu. We're not Zilla, but
we've got what's his name? Now you screwed me up by saying Zilla Fatu. Anyway,
Lance Anoa'i.
We got him. Then, of course, at some point, Roman and Punk are going to have something that can last 6 months.
Yeah.
Then you get back on, and eventually that's your big match. Not at this year's Mania, because I'm not 100% Rock's even doing it, but the WrestleMania after 2026. Rock and Roman for the Eula Falla. It irritates me that I thought of this idea, because I'm going to say it here, which means they're never going to do it. But the Rock and Roman match for the Eula Falla should be no holds barred, blah, blah, blah. I quit match, but you don't say I quit. You say I acknowledge you. That's how it ends. Rock and Roman for the Eula Falla in an acknowledgement match. That is a gigantic match. Roman Reigns and Solo for the Eula Falla. You're going to argue that's a bigger match than Rock and Roman for the Eula Falla in an acknowledgement match? It's not, okay? It's just not. So, whatever.
You know where they should do that match? They should do it at Aloha Stadium.
Should.
In Honolulu. They absolutely should go and run that show there. It would be absolutely amazing. They have no problem going to these other places anyway. It will probably not be a massive money maker as it would be in some other places because, again, the economy of Hawaii, how much people are going to have to dump on incredibly priced front row tickets and merch, it's going to be a little less. But
90% of the people that go to that show ain't going to be from Hawaii.
And well,
they will come from all over the world.
That's a very good point right there. But just the aesthetic of the entire thing, there to me would be nothing more fitting than to do that match there.
Rock and Roman, Eula Falla, acknowledgement match in Hawaii at Aloha Stadium would be the biggest wrestling match in the history of the earth. It just would. So we'll see what they do. I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
How dare I come up with an idea?
I know it. And for me to add to it, too. I apologize.
Doesn't matter if it's under renovation. I don't want it this year. I want it next year. It's got to be good by next year, right? First match in the newly renovated Aloha Stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was a good main event. That's what I thought. What'd you think?
I thought it was as well, too. And I liked the way that they teased CM Punk and the dissension with him and Roman Reigns still. Now you have, because of SmackDown, the face-to-face, which was... Talk about overdone, overdramatic, and overdubbed music way too loud. That sit-down between CM Punk, that cinema that took place between CM Punk and Roman Reigns. At the end of the day, a favor is owed by Paul Heyman to CM Punk. We'll see how it plays itself. That plays itself out. But also, one of the reasons I really liked CM Punk and Bronson Reed being involved in this thing is, and this is where my spin on if Bronson Reed is injured, okay, we can make some hay out of this. Seth Rollins was asked first to be a part of this team. He turned it down. Who has he had all of his problems with? Well, at one level, it's been CM Punk. In the ring, it's been Bronson Reed. Now we have CM Punk mixing it up with Bronson Reed inside War Games. We have a natural reason for these two people who are away from all of this other stuff on the Raw brand. We have a reason for them to continue to go at it. If Bronson Reed is injured for a while, easy answer. You have Seth Rollins and CM Punk continue what they're doing, and then... when you least expect it, whether it be on the 25th at Saturday night's main event, whether you have to wait till February in the Royal Rumble, whenever it is, you can have Bronson Reed come back and then destroy both guys or get involved in that way. So if he is injured, that sucks, but at least you have something where he comes back. He can make an impact on a big name guy again right away.
Person says, I guess it would have been lame if Nakamura just came back after being gone for months and then lose a title match right away, although I'm sure they've done that before. They sure have!
You know what?
They sure have.
This is a lot like Claudio, where the answer lies in the country of Japan. Shinsuke Nakamura is going back to Japan as he did last year for the Muto retirement show. He's wrestling a guy by the name of Ulka Sasaki on January 1st, and I have a feeling that... I had a feeling that's why he was getting back in the ring to shake some ring rust off. That's why he came back on the European tour. He's come back doing this. But as soon as I saw he was lined up for a title match, it's like, you know what? I could see them taking the belt off of LA Knight for a while, putting it on Nakamura, have him do that. And then, again, before the Royal Rumble, have him lose it back to LA Knight or whoever it's going to go to.
All right, we have a non-WWE question here, but this is actually important. Any more news on Juice Robinson? So where did we get that? The Juice was on crutches. Somebody had talked about it, and I watched the match that he had. What match was it? Was it him and Ospreay on Collision?
The Classic, yeah.
I think it was. I watched that, and he was fine. I didn't see anything out of the ordinary in the match. But it did turn out he is injured, and today's the day he has to get his x-rays and everything, and probably a broken foot, but they're hoping for the best, obviously. And keep in mind that Renee also injured her foot, and they thought it was broken, and she got x-rays, and it turned out it wasn't broken. So hopefully it's not broken, but he'll find out, I guess, probably very soon.
So if Renee's foot was broken, you think she'd miss any time?
No, she didn't miss any time thinking she had a broken foot. This person says, you should have gone to the Cheesecake Depository for dessert.
Deposit? It's not even a factory? It's a depository? Depository. Suppository?
It might have been actually in Vancouver.
Did you see any violent Asian street gangs with old men who look like Wayne?
No, we had no problem at the border other than the fact that in order to... So going up was fine, but then we're heading back and, you know, there are multiple border crossings. The main border crossing, it's a 2-hour wait.
Jesus.
So the only way to avoid that is to drive like an hour out of the way to the other border crossing, which they claimed had a 10-minute wait. So it's like doing the math. Ah, what the hell? But then, you know, you go out of the way, but then you got to go back the other way to get back on. So anyway, we're like, I'd rather be moving than not moving. So we drove out of the way to the other crossing. It, like, I, as God is my witness, we showed up at this border crossing. There was not one single other car there. Not one. Not three cars. Not zero. Like, we showed up, and it's just like, Is it closed? I'm going to be really mad if this border crossing is closed. Are we at the wrong place? And we pull up and nope, it's open. Where are you guys at? I went to Survivor Series. Bring anything back? Just some Tim Hortons donut holes or something. All right. Have a nice day. That was it. So it was easy, but it was long.
So who brought back the Timbits? Because I know that wasn't you.
Timmy O's. Tim Hortons is one of those things where, like, it's like famous, you know what I'm saying? So people, yeah. But it's not that good.
A Canadian Krispy Kreme?
No, go. We got Top Pot around here, okay? These are like real donuts.
Top Pot?
Yeah.
What do they sprinkle on there?
And then it's just like the most boring looking basic donuts, you know? It's nothing. It's nothing special. Tim Hortons is nothing special, Lance. I'm sorry. I don't even know if he likes Tim Hortons.
The coffee is really, really good, though.
Is it really? It's like caffeine. What's so special about it?
Whoa. Don't, just because you don't like coffee, disparage all coffee. All coffee is not made equally, okay?
I'm in Seattle. We got Starbucks. We got Woods Coffee. We got all these high-end coffee places. I live in Seattle, dude.
Yeah, roast your
nuts. No one from Seattle, not one single person that lives in Seattle is like, man, I got to go over to the border for that Tim Hortons coffee.
Does anybody drink Starbucks?
I can't get nothing
Seattle?
Like that around here. Kidding me? God, you should have seen when the power went out. These people trying to get, there's one Starbucks open at the Safeway. The line went out the door and like six blocks down the road.
Oh, God, it's not even a proper Starbucks. It was the poor Safeway workers. Oh, my God.
Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Yeah, I'll talk about that after the break, by the way.
What?
Yeah, look at that. I struck a nerve.
Mm-hmm.
Lance sends me a middle finger emoji.
Well, you deserve it for
that. Yeah, now this guy here says, I am Canadian. Tim Hortons used to be good. Sucks now.
Are we talking about the coffee, or are you talking about, like, the soups and stuff? I don't care about that. They got fantastic coffee.
This person goes, Tim Hortons is owned by the same people that own... It's owned by Burger King, basically. What does that tell you?
Yeah.
Burger King. You know how to know for sure that something sucks? If it has like King, Royal, it always sucks. Always. And then you want me to go off on Starbucks? I don't got time. But I live in this state, okay? I don't know how Starbucks stays in business. Like, I've never seen a place where every time they have something that you start to like, they discontinue it. There used to be stuff there that, like, I don't like coffee really, but, you know, they had like a steak wrap or whatever. I started to really like them, discontinued. Then, you know, they have this or that. You started really discontinued.
The Michigan Cherry Oat Bar, I like that one, yeah.
And then my absolute most hated thing, and this is not just Starbucks, but Starbucks is the worst offender. The person who takes your order also is the person who has to make your drink. I just want a cake pop for my kids. I sit in the line for 10 minutes because somebody has to order some wacky, give me a double chai with something.
A venti and this apple crisp macchiato.
Teenager has to figure out how to use the thing to ring them up, and then they got to go over and make it. I'm just sitting there waiting for them to make someone else's drink. A line of 16 people behind me because the power's out. It's like, dude, you can't get another person. Have one person that makes a drink and another person take the order. I won't do that to you if you sign up today. WrestlingObserver.com, F4WOnline.com. F4W50 is the special promo code, F4W50. And you can get a full month at half off. WrestlingObserver.com, F4W50. Sign up today. You won't regret it. I'm even crazier on the Christmas show. Talk to you next time, Wrestling Observer Live.
People thought this was crazy?